Playwright and novelist Bonnie Greer.
Screenshot is where we journey through the multiverse of the moving image.
In the new series, we go from investigating whodunits to the storyline swirling around Titanic.
From chilling Cornish folk horror to classic Christmas telly.
I'm Melanie Jones.
And I'm Mark Kermode. Every week we agree on a subject to begin with and then go off in our own, sometimes very different directions.
Along the way, we're joined by a top-notch array of guests and experts to make sense of it all.
What is it that makes some films linger in the memory?
Investigating the weird and wonderful connections that emerge throughout the history of film, television and streaming.
When I make a film, I always make what I would want to see.
The new series of Screenshot on BBC Radio 4 and BBC Sound, starting on Friday night at 7:15.
Now on Radio 4, Gossip and Goddesses with Granny Kumar.
Goodness, the hall's full today. Namaste, ladies.
I can't believe we managed to get Bonnie Greer and Anjana Vasan on today's show. Total legends. They obviously didn't read the small print. You seen on me yet?
Shut the door. You're letting all the incense out.
Why is there a prayer meeting in our kitchenette?
And who's that woman sitting on my Priti Patel novelty cushion? So disrespectful.
That woman is my stupid son's latest obsession.
Grandad Ashvin's having an affair.
Oh, don't be stupid. She's called Mother Meenakshi, and she's some new age guru that Ashvin has started following like some desperate male menopausal sheep.
Well, what's she doing here?
Ashvin's stuck at the Kesh and Gerry, so I'm stuck with Yoda sitting, and it sucks.
Well, I'm no fan of patriarchal organised religion. I'd rather get down and dirty with Gaia.
Is this to do with your sexual panting again, darling?
I'm pansexual, and no, it's not, but maybe Ashwin Dada is just searching for some kind of spiritual awakening on me.
He needs waking up with my shoe on his head. We don't need gurus coming over here telling us what to do. We invented them, and we have a show to do. Right, time, ladies, please. Up you get. Haven't you got an om to go to? See what I did there? Anybody?
Finally. Namaskar ji. Can I have my cushion back? Does she speak English?
She looks English.
Probably Kashmiri with that pale skin and blue eyes. The cushion. Hello, please.
Firstly, stop shouting. You're not ordering chips in Torremolinos. And secondly, Mother Mooface has taken a vow of silence. So at least she won't be talking to the guests.
And Bonnie Greer has arrived. What do we do with... Hello. Oh, God, she's coming over.
What's she doing?
Oh, she does this. Writes secret stuff on bits of paper and gives them out. Maya, if it says pull my finger, run.
Oh, thank you. No, it says... Oh, my gosh. How did you know?
Whoa. Mind blown.
Oh, for me? Okay. Aram, you have seen into my soul. Thank you. Mother Meenakshi.
No, I don't want one. Look within yourself and then pull my finger. Why, you come back, you.
And she's here. All hail Queen Bonnie Greer.
Oh, darling Bonnie, welcome.
Hello.
Oh, it's such an honour to have a woman of your intellect and fire on our humble show, apart from me.
So happy to be here.
Bonnie, Geeta Bhandari, MBE, co-host and main sponsor. So delighted to meet you.
To meet you too.
Now, Bonnie, that woman who just swept past you in the saffron sari smelling of cheap air freshener, she didn't bother you, did she, or asked to pull her finger?
Oh, no, no, nothing like that.
I'm so glad. Well, ignore her. She's not part of the show.
All right.
Anyway, I'm too excited to wait anymore. Let's get on with the interview.
Gossip and Goddesses with Granny.
And Geeta.
Our first goddess is a powerhouse pioneer on every level. She's a revered and award-winning writer, presenter, activist and academic. She studied theatre with Elia Kazan, seen off bigots on Question Time, and apparently does physics and maths for fun. And she's an OBE. We are truly not worthy. Please welcome the incomparable Bonnie Greer.
Wow. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Oh, darling, Sid, please. We have saved you the best wipe-clean recliner we have. And ignore the guru lady in the corner. Bonnie, could I ask you, could you just say, hello, I'm Bonnie Greer, and this is a lovely recliner?
Hello, I'm Bonnie Greer, and this is a lovely recliner.
Oh, I'm sorry I had to do that because we just love your voice.
Oh.
It's like cream being poured on velvet.
Oh.
Is that an accent from the Windy City in there?
It's probably an accent from Mississippi and Tennessee, but I was born in the Windy City.
Oh.
My mom and dad were from the South.
Oh. You're from Jalandhar?
No, not that kind of windy, silly. Now, you were born and raised in Chicago, weren't you? The eldest of seven children.
Yes.
A humble family beginnings. Your father was a factory worker.
Yes.
And your mom was a homemaker.
Yes, they used to call them housewives, you know, so it's a horrible term. My dad was in this country serving in a segregated United States Army in preparation for D-Day. And he always remembered this country because coming from rural Mississippi, which was deeply segregated, to see people of color, people from the Caribbean, people from the subcontinent, like walking around like human beings, as far as he was concerned, really changed his life. That was very important for him.
Your father came from a family of sharecroppers and fought in World War II. Is that where you think part of your drive and grit came from?
My father had actually leave Mississippi because he spoke up.
About what?
Oh, everything.
Everything.
And, you know, whatever. Because you weren't supposed to speak if you were a black person that you were spoken to. Mm. And for a black man, if you saw a white man coming on the pavement, you had to get off the pavement.
Mm-mm.
So my father was like,
I can't believe this is in our lifetime.
So his mother, my grandmother said, boy, we better ship you out of here because you're going to be dead.
I think Mother Meenakshi has a question for Bonnie.
I'm sorry, Bonnie. This is probably a totally pointless question from our resident guru, which says, oh, didn't you once consider becoming a nun?
Oh, yes.
And why did you turn away from this spiritual path? Well, that can't be true, can it?
Oh, yes, because, of course, being a child of the theater, which I didn't know that's what I was at the time, I would go to mass just to hear the bells, the music. They play Bach, you know, all this. And the,
oh, you love
and
the drama.
And the candles, the Virgin Mary. And I told my mother, and I've never heard her laugh so loud. I was absolutely insulted, but she saved my life. So there you go.
Actually, Bonnie, you would have made a kick-ass nun. And weren't you considering studying law at one point as
Yes. In fact, in my generation, because of the civil rights movement, everything was happening in law. And so a lot of black girls like me thought we were going to go into the law.
And change the world.
Exactly. But in those days, and this did happen, we had a sort of an introduction to law. So all of us women and black women were sitting there. This man, he was a lawyer. He walked up in front of us. He was our teacher. And he said, look, I'm going to be straight with you, okay? I don't believe women should practice the law. I'm just going to tell you that.
Goodness me.
I mean, did it just fire you up to prove the man wrong? Do you think?
I've always been the kind of person where I didn't want to make the other the center of my life.
Yes.
You know, I wasn't going to be about trying to make somebody look at me in another way. And I just thought, the hell with you.
Mm. So is that why you found yourself in NYC studying theater in the late 70s and 80s? What a time to be alive.
Well, you know how the song goes, if you can't make it there, you can't make it anywhere, right? So I'd done a play. It was well received. So I thought, I'm going to go to New York. Two friends of mine, two black actors, we packed all of our clothes, drove through Pennsylvania, and we came in through Harlem. And we're from the Midwest, so we had never seen elevation or the kind of buildings that they had in New York that were like the movies.
Mm.
So we got out to look around. And I don't know if you remember that scene in Coming to America where Eddie Murphy goes away and everybody steals all his stuff.
Yes.
That's what happened to
us. Oh,
no. It was all gone.
Oh.
So then I was dropped off in the village where I lived, in Greenwich Village, and that was great.
And you actually studied under the famous director Elia Kazan. And you started acting and writing. Is this where the creativity and the activism finally came together?
I suppose in a strange way, because I grew up watching his films like On the Waterfront and Streetcar Named Desire. I think because he liked what I did, there's always a point in your life when, even if you don't want to admit it, there's somebody you admire and they say you're good. And
it means everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Deeply encouraged.
That's wonderful to hear.
Bonnie, darling, my son couldn't wait to emigrate to the USA. He's got 2.5 bathrooms and armed response security. I'm so proud of him. Anyway, why did you move here?
I lived in New York from 78 to about 86. And I was in the theater community. Mm. And then it became Trump New York, and I just thought, I got to go.
Mm-hmm. Because you brought a show to Edinburgh in 1986, didn't you? Was that your first time here?
Yes. Uh-huh. It was about Desdemona, but we made her a black woman in herself. Mm-hmm. So I should resurrect that play. And three people played her on the stage in a boxing ring.
And, I love it.
But that's Edinburgh, you know. I mean, that's what it was.
But Bonnie, what surprised you about moving here, good and bad?
One of the reasons I was able to stay here is because I developed a program teaching Shakespeare to literacy as a literacy tool. And then when I got to teach in Brixton, this was at the beginning of the 90s, and I called them English, and all of them said, "No, miss, no, we're not English." I said, "You're born in London, right?" "Yes, miss." I said, "Well, isn't that an English person?" "No, don't call us English." I thought, wow. So
a lot more complicated than
I didn't realize it. And then we did Shakespeare, but I got them to do Shakespeare and put it into their own lives and not know they were doing Shakespeare until the end. And then I gave them the text and I said, "Now read the text." And of course they could, because they already improvised it in their lives.
Of course, you are a wonderful writer, from your novels like Entropy and Obama Music, your stage plays like Montenegro, your columns from many publications like The Guardian. But one of my personal favorites was your brilliant radio play, Madeline and Ella, backstage at the Mocambo.
Yes.
And for those people who don't know about it, and that's Gita mainly, please tell us this fascinating story.
Well, I was looking at a television program, I think it was about 2001, and it was called Marilyn in New York. And being a member of the Actors Studio, Playwright Directors Unit, and she had been at the Actors Studio in New York, there were actually people in there who knew Marilyn. And then there was a picture of her with Ella Fitzgerald. And this jazz musician said that people really rated Marilyn because she had great timing. Mm. That's why she was funny. And then I did the research and found out that she had been friends with Ella Fitzgerald. And legend has it that she helped her get her first gig in Hollywood. Now, that may or may not be true, but nevertheless, what is true is that they were friends. Mm-hmm. And when I did the play in Chicago, a lady told me she was in the audience in Michigan in 1986 when Ella was performing, and Ella announced how much Marilyn had been a catalyst for her career.
So there was probably some truth in it.
Yes, and she said she was ahead of her time, but she didn't even know it.
Darling, how did you stay so calm when you went on Question Time with Nick Griffin? Because we all threw our shoes at the television, didn't we, ladies?
Yes.
I go back to my dad again, and my dad always said, never stop anybody from speaking. If they have a point of view, you just have to be better.
And then,
you know, that's what you do. I was on the board of the British Museum at the time. Their website says something like they were indigenous Brits. So I thought, let me see if I can check out that theory. So I went to Jill Cook, who's head of early history at the British Museum. And she said, oh, yes, there is an indigenous Brit. It is the oat plant. That's it. Everybody is an immigrant. Everybody is an immigrant or descended from one. The Anglo-Saxons come from Germany and the Netherlands. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on. So I was armed with that. And when he started going on about the indigenous Brits, Cambridge graduate that he is, I said, well, that's absurd. It's not true. And so that was the end of him.
Yes, you were brilliant. You were brilliant.
Thank you.
That's why you're an icon, and that's why I don't have one matching pair of shoes left.
Bonnie, darling, you said you hear music in your head all the time?
Yes. I'm what's called a synesthete, which means that everything is musical, everything. So I can tell you your music.
Oh.
Please. Please do.
Now it's jazz. Is it jazz?
Is it?
Huh, it is.
What is mine, Bonnie, darling?
Your classical symphony. You're very big.
Oh, I thank you, I think.
A really big symphony. I mean, it's Albert Hall type stuff.
Oh, I'm loving that. Oh.
And me, Bonnie?
I would say you're romantic and pop. Yes. And you like solo women singers a lot.
Wow.
Bonnie Greer, you actually are a witch. I'm a bit frightened now and rather thrilled.
Wow. You are our guru.
She is.
Wow.
Let me guess what music is in Mother Meenakshi's head. Bad Liar by Selena Gomez. How uncanny. Now, Bonnie, you once said to be a black woman is to be a double revolutionary.
Woo! Woo!
Read it, sister. And what did you exactly mean by this? This is for Gita again.
Yes. First of all, to be a woman is to be a revolutionary, and even more so now than it's ever been. And also, we as women of color are others.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to make some decisions about that at some point. Either you play the other, and you could get rewarded for that, or you go against the other, and you can get rewarded for that, too. Or you just don't give a damn and just be yourself.
Oh, well, that's the nice thing about being an old woman of color, because you really don't give a damn.
You really don't. And that is really nice, too.
Isn't it, darling?
Yes.
So given your enduring love of the power of music, as my final question, what is your inheritance track, the one that all of us double revolutionaries need to hear?
It's probably Nina Simone singing Baltimore.
Absolutely.
I can't think of anything better. It has been an honor dancing in joy to your song today. Ladies, show your love and respect for the wonderful Bonnie Greer. No samosas, no bhajias, no custard creams. Damn that Mother Meenakshi. Did she bring a plague of locusts with her?
Maybe let me make the tea. I mean, look what you've done. There's a crack in my Punani power mug.
How appropriate. Oh, sorry, I just can't stand the way everybody's fawning over that holy half-wit. And by the way, she's eaten all the snacks. I mean, it was obvious Bonnie couldn't stand her. Where is Bonnie, by the way?
Doing some hot yoga with Mother Meenakshi.
Buggered.
I found the daughter I've always wanted, and she's called Anjana Vasan.
Hey, welcome, darling.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi.
Oh, look at you, all that talent in such a pocket-sized gorgeous package. Oh, and can I just say, we loved lady parts.
Amazing.
Thank you.
I do apologize, Anjana. Geeta Bhandari, MBE, co-host and main sponsor. Ami. How many times do I have to tell you? No genitalia jokes on Radio 4.
Lady Parts is a brilliant and funny TV show, isn't it?
I'd like to think it is, yeah.
I knew that. Carry on.
Oh, and Anjana, heads up. My son's so-called guru is wandering around, woman in a saffron sari with biscuit crumbs on her face. Just ignore her.
Actually, I found her inspirational. She just looked at me and all my chakras flew open.
Has that ever happened to you, Anjana?
Not yet, no.
I'm sure we're going to get all the inspiration we need from you, darling.
Gossip and goddesses with Granny Kumar. Gossip and goddesses with Granny Kumar.
And Geeta.
So, our next goddess has been described as one of the most exciting talents of her generation. She's a talented singer, songwriter, has collected handfuls of awards for her brilliant work on stage and screen, but it was her role as Amina Hussein in the riotous TV comedy We Are Lady Parts that made the whole world sit up and say, hurrah for the amazing Anjana Vasan!
Thank you so much. It's very nice to be here.
Oh, and you know gorgeous Bonnie Greer over there. Have you met each
other?
Hello,
Bonnie. Hello.
It was really
a privilege to be
meet
next
you.
To you.
Now, you know, you two goddesses have a lot in common. You're both multi-talented. You both love music. But also, darling, you weren't born and brought up here either, were you?
No, I'm a foreigner that got in. I was born in India and I left India when I was 3 and I grew up in Singapore. So I'm actually Singaporean. And then I came to the UK. I went to drama school here. Mm. 10 years later, I'm here and this is my home.
And this is your home. But yeah. You said you feel split into three sometimes.
I used to think of that as a negative thing. And actually, I think that's a beautiful thing to feel like
yes.
You belong in more than one place. I think we'd like to sort of ask people to decide where exactly they're from. And actually, I feel like the fact that I'm from 3 different places feel like my experiences are richer for having that experience.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I really get that. Heart in India, body in Wembley, boobs in Australia.
Darling, you've said you were very shy and geeky when you were younger, but
yes.
So why do the acting then, huh? Accountancy would have been better fit, surely.
I think my parents would have loved if I went into accountancy, but the problem is my maths was not very good. Mm. Acting was at first a form of escapism. It felt like the place where I could be a more confident version of myself. So I found a bit of power in that. I think that was how I got into it in the first place.
Was that at the University of Singapore?
At National University of Singapore, mm. yes. But I did drama club when I was in secondary school. So I was that one kid that took drama club way too seriously. You know, I cried when I didn't get the role I wanted. It was like life and death for me.
Anjana, you came over to study at the Royal Welsh College of Music and Drama.
I did.
And you got in on a Skype audition. That sounds
yes.
crazy.
And there was a bit of a technical issue. They could see me, but I couldn't see them.
Oh,
and
my
I
goodness.
Went, hold on a second.
This is sounding worse and worse.
I know. I had to Google, is there a college called Royal Welsh College? Is this a legit place that I've auditioned for?
Oh, they could have been one of those fishing cats after you.
Thankfully, they were.
Don't try and run with the youth. It's embarrassing.
After Singapore, you must have been terribly homesick. Where did you buy all your masalas?
You know what? The first thing I did was to look up where I could get my eyebrows threaded.
Of course.
And the spices to make chai.
Spices, like,
there's
and
literally
hair
two
removal.
Things I.
That's
yeah.
it. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Wales. I always feel right at home there. They're just like us, you know? Warm and welcoming, great singers, strong matriarchs, similar accents.
Similar
isn't
accents.
It, Boyo?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think they just assumed I was Welsh, to be honest. But I think that's why I got fit in.
Of course.
Absolutely.
But it seems like you jumped straight out of drama school into a smorgasbord of wonderful theatre work, RSC, National Theatre, The Globe. Did you deliberately focus on stage work?
Yeah, I think my only goal for a long time was theatre work because that's how I fell in love with acting.
Ah.
I thought film and TV was for people with blue eyes and bone structure, so I didn't think it was somewhere
not
I could even get a role.
Yes.
And it was like a slow and steady sort of climb.
Mm. Mm. Well, Bonnie knows that because she was in New York in the 70s
yeah,
and 80s doing
writing
theater.
Incredible plays, I know.
Anjana Didi, I've seen so much of your amazing theatre work. Ken Branagh's Macbeth, Summer and Smoke at the Almeida, but the one that blew me away was your lead role as Niru in A Doll's House at the Lyric Hammersmith.
Yes, lovely.
Thank you. It was the one role I had on a piece of paper. You know, some actors have a list of roles, but I only had one.
Yeah,
and that was the role.
Oh, we loved it. We absolutely, and you were amazing. We organised a Silverbats group outing, especially to see you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, do you remember? We were the ones who waved and threw laddus at you at the curtain call.
I appreciated those laddus.
Yeah, and then we got escorted out by security. Anyway.
That part I didn't know.
You were magnetic and got an Evening Standard nomination for Best Actress.
Yes. Thank you.
And did you think, phew, finally, I've done an iconic classic role and I have been seen?
You know, yes and no is the truthful answer. I remember at the Evening Standard Awards actually going, you know, I'm all dolled up, nice dress on, but I was thinking about how little I had in my bank account. And I was thinking, I don't have a job. So, you know, it's both an exciting thing, but it's also a very real thing.
Yes. Wow. There's never one job that changes one's life. It's a marathon, not a sprint, no?
Yes.
Mm. Well, you were lovely in it, Anjana, but I still don't get why it was set in India.
Geeta, listen, because it was about an unfulfilled woman trapped in a boring marriage who's scared to leave because of what the community might say.
Nope. No idea what you're talking about. Let me ask you, how did you feel when they asked you to play a violent psychopathic assassin in Killing Eve?
Oh, you were amazing in that.
I loved it. It meant I got to do stunts, you know, me being all of 5'2".
What was it like being on that set? Because my goodness, talk about powerful women.
I'm a fan of the show. So when I found out I was going to be in it, it was like a dream come true. But I didn't know that I would get to meet all of the characters. Mm. So, you know, I got to meet Sandra and Jodie and Fiona and Kim and Camille and they're, you know, it's like working with
dream.
Your heroes. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, what are you passing me, Maya?
Sorry, Mother Meenakshi has sent in another question from me.
Wish she'd just keep her mystic beak out of my show. And it says, Blessed Anjana. Well, that's very corny. Apparently you loved watching I Love Lucy and The Sound of Music when you were little. Did you want to be a comedy nun like Bonnie? Again, stupid question, but intriguing pair of role models, Anjana.
Yeah, I think I Love Lucy because Lucille Ball was just a comic genius. And the reason why I love doing We Are Lady parts so much is because I think silliness is very underrated as a quality. And I don't think women get to be like really properly funny.
Totally agree.
Because it's often the men that get to do that and we're serving that story. And this
we stand around and laugh at their jokes.
Exactly, yeah.
But The Sound of Music.
Well, because, you know, she was just magical in that. And the songs were just beautiful. And I had such a crush on Christopher Plummer. So that's why.
Now we come down to it. Oh, you do.
I mean, who didn't?
Who didn't, indeed. Well, comedy and music combined there, which is probably why you were so brilliant as Amina Hussein in one of our favourite shows of last year. I have to say it again, the brilliant comedy, We Are Lady Puff.
Yay. You have to say it to me.
Would you prefer I say we are just another word for foo-foos?
No. just ask the question.
Okay. You know what? We Are Foo-Foos is a good name. I mean, that sounds like a good band name.
Well, it really was the most groundbreaking show about a Muslim female punk band, and you must have jumped with joy when you got offered this one.
Yes, it was a chance to work with someone who I was sure was the future. I think Nida Manzoor, who wrote and directed it, is a bit of a genius, and I thought the show was crafted with a lot of love and a lot of joy, and that's how it felt making the show. It was joyous.
And such a wonderful part, because the arc you go through, a shy and confident girl studying science who discovers her rebellion by joining a punk band.
Yeah, and, you know, celebrating her weirdness and her eccentricity and being herself on her own terms. And I think that is kind of the lesson of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, you must know how many women this show spoke to, because it's not only hilarious, but it feels so fresh to see Muslim women portrayed in this way. What's the reaction been like?
The reaction has been from a wide range of people. I get DMs sometimes from 67-year-old men in Texas going, I don't know that this show is meant for me, but it felt like it was meant for me.
Oh, that's
amazing.
And
I think that is what's beautiful, is that it doesn't just speak to the community. I think it's important that it does. But because it's specific, I think it's also very universal and relatable.
Absolutely. Well, if ever there was a breakout role, this was it, because it's earned you an armful of international award nominations, including a BAFTA for Best Female Comedy Performance, and you won the RTS for Best Female Comedy Performance. And that's why Anjana Vasan is truly our unstoppable star. Please show your love for our two glorious goddesses, Anjana Vasan and Bonnie Grean.
Such an honour to meet you both.
We'll walk you to the car park. Amazing show. Thank you. Thank you.
So, it's just me and you in here, Mother Meenakshi. Gozi. Did you enjoy the show? Yes, sorry, I forgot about your vow of silence. Anyway, here's all the cash you made today for giving out blessings to our members. Gosh, this donation tin is very heavy. Must be a couple of £100 in there. Maybe you'd like to donate something to our Silver Bats Ladies Group for hosting you? Just £20 would cover the biscuits you ate. But first, you need to let go of the tin. You shouldn't pull so hard, because someone might get hurt if I suddenly let go like this. Ow! You've broken my bleeding toe. Busted.
Well, of course, I knew straight away that Mother Meenakshi was a fraud.
Of course you did. And you mean Guru Mandy Braithwaite from Bootle.
But that message she wrote for me, how did she know?
You are seen, you are strong, you are loved. Yep. I got the same one. It worked because it's what every woman wants to hear.
Well, it was still a lovely show with wonderful guests, and I think we need to embrace the experience and celebrate our higher selves by being kind and letting go.
She also stole your Priti Patel novelty cushion.
I'm going to kill that skanky cow. Hold my bag.
Gossip and Goddesses with Granny Kumar was written by Meera Sayal. The music was by Sanjeev Bhaskar. Ami was played by Meera Sayal, Geeta by Harvey Virdi, and Maya by Umbreen Razia. The producer was